5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, 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 people! Welcome back to another episode of the D-Grads Podcast.
Hello.
Yes, that's right. We're here, hello. As we said we would be. And we are your hosts, Shane Warren Kipple, Gavin Spinner Mason, and over there,
Mike Lobel, or as you might know me, Jay Hogart. Listen, today we have an incredible episode for you. We're very excited. We've got a special guest coming up. We're going to announce in a second. But finally, an episode about school tests. When were we going to get to this? What those crazy kids will do to pass it or just skip it altogether. But mostly this episode is about mindset, how we judge ourselves as unworthy, and what we can do to overcome our harshest critic. And also Drake beats up Sean in this episode.
That's it. Yeah. And I don't know if that's going to help or take away from his reputation these days, but it's very exciting to welcome this guest who really needs no introduction.
But we're going to introduce him anyway, because he is important.
He is very important. And Mike, you'll give him the proper introduction, but it's weird to have him as a guest because really he's the one. There would be no podcast without him.
Well, there would be a podcast. It would just be very different.
Andy, stop talking. We haven't introduced you yet. All right. Well, today's guest is someone. Yes, he's been there since the beginning. The original producer, the podcast whisperer, all around calming presence. You probably know Andy is the host of several podcasts, but most notably the Let's Not Meet podcast, which is one of the biggest true crime horror podcasts out there. Hundreds of episodes of deeply unsettling stories told so simply you don't even realize you're holding your breath the entire time. Andy Tate, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show.
The thing about your guys' introductions with when you have a guest is you get to be like Shane Kipple, a.k.a. Spinner Gavin or Gavin Spinner. And then Mike, you get to be like, I'm Jay Hogart. And then I have to, it's Andy, also known as Andy.
Can I just say the Discord has been a titter? With people wondering where you are.
That's
and
so
they want to hear. Beloved now.
I forgot. Yeah. I got to ask to be invited back into the Discord or click the link or whatever, because I had to delete my Discord because I got hacked. So I got hacked on Discord and Instagram somehow. And I just deleted my whole Discord profile and I had to create a new one. So I got to get back in there.
Yeah, we'll send you a link.
Okay.
Even my friends ask me, they're like, okay, so like, I know what you said on the podcast, but like, what actually happened with Andy? What actually happened? And I'm like, nothing actually happened, man. And I was like, okay. So you don't want to talk about it? Like, you guys
still no, yeah, just, we're still, everything's fine. We're
here's
good.
Here's the official statement. When Mike reached out to me to do the podcast, he was just asking for advice, or both of you guys said, you guys just basically asking for advice. Yeah. We talked a bit, like for an hour or two. We had a great time. We meshed. And I just said, hey, I'll just produce the show with you guys. That was never in the plans originally. Originally, it was just you guys were asking for advice. So, you know, I just wanted to get things started with you. And as you guys kind of started to grow and you got a hang of the ropes and stuff, I just figured, hey, you guys don't technically need me and I got a lot of other work to do. I feel like I birthed you two into the podcast world. And now you guys are ready to fly, you know? You just don't need me all the time.
Cut that umbilical, you know?
Yeah, dude.
But it is great having you back. It's great seeing your face, and you have such a just a calming, sexy voice. I'm glad that it's back in my
I'll be sure to record you some asthma.
Ooh,
please do.
Yeah.
Okay.
A whole new business, side hustle.
So let's get to the episode, shall we?
Let's.
This episode is season one, episode 14, Under Pressure. Yep, you know, David Bowie and Queen. What a song. Mike, what does Under Pressure have to do with this episode?
Well, I just want to say, Under Pressure, okay, and I didn't know this. This was like not a song, it wasn't supposed to happen. David Bowie and Queen were recording together in Switzerland at the Mountain Studios there, and around the same time, and Bowie was asked in on Queen's recording session, and they were just jamming, and this was the result, an iconic tune and one of the most requested karaoke songs of all time.
It's a great song.
I mean, obviously the song is about putting aside our differences to help each other through life's big challenges, and I think that it's kind of an ironic title actually for this episode, because, you know, given the senseless fighting that is happening all the way through it.
Yeah, no one wants to put their differences aside. And this episode originally aired on February 24th, 2002. Get ready to feel old, kids. That was 23 years ago, 10 months and 25 days.
But who's counting?
Certainly not me. The writers were James Hurst with the story, Aaron Martin with the story and teleplay, director Stephen Skaney.
Is this his first episode?
I think so.
Yeah.
And I loved working with him every single time. I was looking forward to him coming
back.
Such
a nice man.
Now, the box office at that time, the top three were Queen of the Damned, Aaliyah. That's how long ago this was.
Man, that hurts.
John Q, number two. And Return to Neverland, number three. The top shows. I know, we're getting sick of it. Just know it's going to be like this for a while because they were all huge. CSI, Friends, and ER. And the top song was J-Lo's Ain't It Funny. That's what I got for you. Outside of that, no notable events really in February of 2022, specifically February 24th, but really the whole month, unless you really want to know about, you know, little pockets of unrest around the world. And I don't think we need to get into that stuff. So,
yeah, it's a little unresty right now. So, you know.
I'm looking forward to a little resty after we're done this podcast, because Shaney is tired. Jesus. All right. Without further ado, Andy, you watched the episode. I like when we were talking at first, I like how you threw in reference to something that happened at the end of the episode to signify that you did watch the whole episode.
With a tooth and comb, man. A tooth and comb? Fine tooth comb? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine tooth comb.
With a tooth and a comb.
You better be using it that way from now on.
Just inventing expressions here today.
I am going to use that. Everyone's going to look at me like I'm an idiot unless it's in this conversation. Oh, wow. Perfect. Oh, I'm so glad you're back. Okay, let's get into it. Under Pressure. We open with Sean working on Tracker's bike, because that's what badasses do. And as he's doing this, Tracker is helping Sean study for a test. We find out soon after that that Sean's mom, who is now sober, wants to talk to Sean. It's obviously been a while, and he's immediately stressed out over the thought of potentially being asked to move back to Wasaga Beach. Roll credits.
Yeah, they crammed a lot of backstory for Sean in here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of exposition.
Lots of exposition. Yeah.
And again, the denim. We're just never taking it off.
Now, Wasaga Beach, people, anyone who lives in the greater Toronto area or Ontario would know what Wasaga Beach is. It was it's still there, but it is like a really like grimy.
It's a rite of passage, and you take that back, Shane.
That's right. It's a place where you would go. It's not too far outside the city. If you just want to have a really messy, sloppy, getaway for a couple of days. But it's not a nice beach.
It's our beach in southern Ontario. It's where every teenager goes in the summers to, like, try to make out and get trashed. And it's epic. It's a rite of passage.
It's like our Santa Monica Pier.
Right. But by beach, it's a lake beach.
It's not a lake beach. Yeah, duh.
We don't have a sea.
I'm so sorry.
Not quite like the Santa Monica Pier, and definitely not as famous. But that's what Wasaga Beach is. So we are at the lockers with Toby, JT, Liberty, and Emma, and everybody is stressing about this test. And Sean comes in, steals Emma away in hopes that she will help him study, leaving it to the last minute. Liberty snags Mr. Simpson as he's walking by and just annoys him with all of her, fun facts and letting him know exactly what mark she'll need to get an A+, which, if memory serves, it was a 92.48%.
Mm-hmm.
Simpson has better things to do, and he quickly makes an excuse to get out of there.
Now, why is media immersion the most important class at this f***ing school?
I don't know.
It's an elective class, right?
Yeah. We're obsessed with, like, this school is supposed to look really futuristic and hip, right? Really on the cutting edge. Every class is like they're learning how to build a website or learn some sort of, like, coding, or it's like a technical school.
Yeah, like, you still get, like, flashes of the other classes. But for some reason, it feels like media immersion is like the hub of the show, of the school.
I think that's also because Mr. Simpson is teaching that. It's Snake. So you need to have like a lot of,
makes
screen
sense.
Time for him, because, Stefan is a bit of a diva. So it was the only reason. He's like, I want to teach a cool class. I want to be the cool teacher. And I also always want to seem like I'm stressed out and lacking sleep.
Yeah.
Have you heard our prevailing theory that he's Batman?
Cool. He's fighting crime at night.
For sure. No one knows what he does. Yep. And what are with all the bruises? Now we're with Sean and Emma, who are by the lockers. And Jimmy walks by and makes a joke about, Sean finally moving lockers, finally moving up to grade 8. And the two share a tense moment, which seems to be all the two do, really. Shortly after, Spinner and Paige walk into Radich's class to find it is not, in fact, Radich's class anymore. Miss Kwan has returned.
That's right. This whole Jimmy-Sean conflict, what is the deal with this? When are we going to find out what the previous past beef was? There's obviously something going on, right? Like, eons ago?
Some people just don't really like each other, man.
Yeah, and I could think back in eighth grade, the only year I actually went to a proper public school, you didn't have to have a reason to have a beef with somebody. You just had to not like the way they looked, or you had to be jealous about something. Like, people just picked on whoever they picked on, And
yeah, the jealousy thing could come. Yeah, that makes
and
sense.
And Sean has anger issues, as we see, right? And also Sean is from the wrong side of the tracks. Don't cancel me. Jimmy is well to do, and maybe there's, you know, that tension there. Who knows?
Definitely.
Paige says Radich is such a fascist. And I was like, wow, we're just throwing those terms around loosely back then.
I didn't even know what a fascist was when I was.
What do you mean throwing it around loosely back then? People throw it around loosely now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Miss Kwan is reacquainting herself with the class, finding out how their tests have been going. We find out that her husband is finished with chemo. And
yeah,
that,
I think this is the first time we see her smile ever in the series.
Yeah. He's her husband is doing better. She's back to work. And she lets them all know that they only have one test left, and it's hers. But Spinner does not want to write this test. He is sick of studying. He's studied enough. He's looking for a shortcut. Enter Oscar, who gets excused for not feeling well. And Kwan seems to be very sympathetic to that. And after Miss Kwan explains to the class that, you know, bugs and the flu flourish in stressful situations, Spinner's wheels start turning.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
I want an Oscar-only episode, maybe series, spinoff. That's what I would do. I think I might start writing Oscar fanfic.
Okay.
He's an intriguing character, that fellow.
I think that's the last time you see him,
what?
Actually.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Perfect perfect runway for my fanfic.
Unless he's in the season finale, because he does not come back for season two.
Oh, yeah.
Fielding.
Damn.
Nope.
He has, so Under Pressure is his final speaking role. Jagged Little Pill, the next episode, is his final appearance.
Oh, is he at the party? Mm-hmm. He probably shows up at the party.
Yeah.
Okay. We are with Sean and Emma, and they get to Sean's house. Sean needs to pick up some stuff, but he asks Emma to stand outside because he is embarrassed of his digs. It's not up to what he would assume Emma's standards would be.
I've honestly been there, man. I've like, when my family, when we weren't doing too well, we had a tiny little 2-bedroom apartment, no room for anything. It was a mess. Like, I remember having my friend stand outside while I was like, let me go inside and get this thing or something like that. I've been there. I felt that one. Mm. The shame. Yeah.
Damn. I feel that, man.
Damn, that sucks, yeah, dude.
Both of us are like, yeah.
What a fucking loser.
Yeah, wish I knew what that felt like. Upper middle class over
here. I'm empathizing with you. Sorry, I was thinking, did you have like a cool bike though, like Sean? Like straight out of a Steven Spielberg flick? Cruiser.
Absolutely
with
not.
Pouches and an antenna on it?
No.
Then it couldn't have been that bad.
All right. Emma stands outside alone, which allows her to have a rather uncomfortable moment at the beginning with Tracker when he pulls up, because the two have a track record. They have been at each other's throats. I'm not sure how many times they have seen each other since, but it seems like Tracker is perfectly fine to bring the conversation right back to, you know, Emma and her articles and her advocacy. But he then turns a corner and tells Emma that she's actually being a very good influence on Sean because she is getting Sean to stay out of trouble, which gets Emma to start wondering what kind of trouble has Sean been in?
Mm-hmm.
What has he gotten into? What has she gotten herself into?
Tracker played by Chris Holden Reed, by the by.
By the by. It's a great name.
Tracker is a great name.
Yeah.
Unless you don't know how to track. And then it's a really ridiculous.
Hey, listen, my name is Andrew Tate. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything's better.
Well, you just got to get more well known, more infamous than the other guy.
Than the other one. There was a news article about me on some sports website because I had, during a live stream, I had talked about how like he ruined my name and they like somebody clipped it and
that's
they
amazing.
Used that. That was a news story for some reason.
Amazing.
And it ended up on like live
Andrew
stream
Tate
fails.
Ruins life for Andy Tate.
Oh, God.
Yeah, dude. I had to change my. I basically changed my name to Andy because I got screwed, man.
I don't blame you. But like, you wonder if he listens to your pod?
Yeah, he has to. He had to have at some point. If you search Andrew Tate podcast, we both come up everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah.
What if he's a big fan of yours? Would that change your opinion of him?
Absolutely not. Okay. Not in the least. It'd probably make me hate him more.
Yeah. Like, this is not for you. All right. After Sean's, we are with Emma and Sean at Emma's. And studying quickly turns into horseplay, throwing a handkerchief or a napkin back and forth in each other's faces. But when Sean says, "Don't mess with me, are you trying to mess with me? I'm big trouble," Emma uses that buzzword as a segue to find out exactly what Tracker was talking about with Sean and his previous troubles.
That's one of those lines you really feel the writers pushing their
that was terrible. I'm sorry, that was terrible.
Yeah,
are you messing with, you want to mess with me? I'm big trouble. Oh,
yeah, it was a fourth wall break there.
No,
for sure.
it was not good. But then Sean goes on to tell Emma, but tell us that when he was back in with Sega, he got into a bad fight and apparently beat the crap out of a kid and left him deaf in one ear.
Huh?
He says that he has some anger problems, but he's been working on it. And that was a year ago.
I've heard that story before.
And that made me think that we were going to find out that he still has lots of issues. And
I was
going to
say, you've been working on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show your work, please.
Yeah, totally. Also, a year ago? Wow.
I've changed a lot in the last year since I deafened that child.
Yeah, exactly. A year was a long time back then.
It's test day, and we're in everyone's favorite place, media immersion. It's test time, and we see Sean looking at his screen, starting the test, hoping for the best. He does not seem confident.
The password, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Broomhead.
Broomhead. Yeah. Yes.
That's a reference to the OG Degrassi.
I think it's this scene, but we also get to learn JT's real name. I forgot completely what his name was throughout the entire series. Yeah,
in James a British Tiberius. Accent.
Yeah, uh-huh. He's so great. I love his little gold chain. Like, he really thinks he's the shit. It's so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he is the shit. He is.
I remember being that age, and like you get your, you get that thing like that you really wanted. It feels like adulthood, or, yeah, you know, like, and it's a gold chain, or it's like a new cardigan or whatever it is. It makes you feel so money, and you can just tell he's loving it.
I've, fun fact, I've never worn a cardigan in my life. I bought one.
You've never lived, sir.
I bought one and it stayed on the hanger. I still have it.
You know what's funny? I bought my first cardigan ever just a week ago. And when I was getting ready to come in here to record, I put it on and I was like, should I? Nope. And I immediately took it off. I was like, nope. I'm not ready for it yet. I'm still not ready for it. I bought it and it's just going to sit there for like a year.
Yeah.
Until you feel like you're the cardigan wearing, it becomes your identity eventually.
That's what I thought. It was a nice one too. And then, I just realized when I was going through cleaning out things from my closet, I couldn't even bear to throw it out because I'm like, I haven't worn this once except in the change room like 10 years ago. I don't really have that body anymore, but
in a future episode, you and I will wear our cardigan for the very first time on the episode. We'll all three wear cardigans.
Proudly.
Well, I need to lose like 30 pounds and then I'll wear the cardigan. And yeah. All right. So while the test is going on in media immersion in Armstrong's class, Spinner is trying to cozy up to a overtly sick Terry when he realizes that she's sick. She doesn't want him near, but he is all too happy to get close because it is time to execute the plan to get out of the test. And then...
at least Spinner isn't licking toilet seats.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to lick a toilet seat yet because... he sees an opportunity that when Terry is asked to throw out her beverage, he plays the nice guy. No. Yeah, you're sick. Let me do that for you. But disgustingly, before throwing that cup into the receptacle, he runs his finger around the entire rim and gives it a good old lollipop lick.
Now, I have to ask, was this a decision on your part or were you directed to do this to take the lid off and run your finger around the part where her lips never would have touched or any liquid would have touched and then put that in your mouth? Because that's not going to work.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. That was not my decision.
That bothered me so much.
Loophole logic.
That's a very good point.
So that wasn't your decision. That was like your instruction is to take the lid off and run your finger.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Sensually.
Damn.
It would be so much funnier if you would have just like licked the top. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why didn't anyone think of that?
We got to reshoot that scene, guys.
Yeah.
Got to reshoot
back.
It.
Let's go back. Oh, no.
Shane, go get your Spinner clothes on.
I'll be Terry.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for the sake of film, it worked. Okay. Now we are back in media immersion and... watching Sean take this test, he seems to be doing okay. He's at least answering the question somewhat, but suddenly he gets locked out. He has run out of time, and he is very upset about this. And Liberty's patronizing out of nowhere does not help.
So mean.
She just shoots back. This girl is unnecessarily confident in this moment.
Yeah.
And shouldn't she be a little scared of Sean, too?
Her character throws me for such a loop because we've seen her really vulnerable. We've seen her, you know, taking a lot of crap from other students and being bullied. And then as soon as she gets a chance, she just turns around and picks on anybody.
Oh, yeah. She proves time and time again throughout the series. She's kind of a bully.
Yeah, she's a bully. Yeah. Trapped in a nerd's body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
she's
mm-hmm,
petty.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, how many people from junior high or high school that, you know, didn't really come into their own until after, then sees every opportunity to make people feel in their adult life like other people made them feel in their know, adolescence.
Yeah. It rolls
it's
downhill.
Nothing new. It's nothing new, kids. Okay. So, Sean's upset. Liberty, shut your mouth. Okay. Outside the class, Emma tries to talk Sean back from the ledge, but he is really getting down on himself, not just for this test being a failure, but he considers himself to be a failure in all walks of life. And he just asks to be left alone. He doesn't want to talk. He just wants to be alone. And he rounds the corner, smashes a locker, and then slumps down to the floor in frustration.
I know what that feels like.
I feel you, Danny.
Yeah, I can fully relate to this. It's like, it's just overload, you know? It's like meltdown overload feelings. You can't, they're just too big. You can't process them. Yeah.
I'll give you a big feeling.
I don't know what that means.
Nah.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So I'd have to ask a question about filming. Did you guys do pickup lines like for dubbing and stuff?
Probably.
Yeah.
There are a couple lines in here where I'm like, whoa, that was definitely dubbed.
You mean ADR, like post post audio? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
They might have, if they know there's a potential dialogue issue, like curse word issue, they'll do a live dub on set. So you'll just essentially do a take kind of wild for audio.
Yeah, when Spinner throws away the cup and turns around to go back to his desk, the line there, it sounds so dubbed, like super duper dubbed. It's really funny. Go back and check it out.
What do you think he says?
I don't remember. I forget.
My line?
Yeah, yeah,
my
it was line? Your line. So, yeah, but it did not sound
cup
like
this.
It sounded like you were not in that room.
Probably ADR.
Interesting.
Whenever you go into an ADR session, you're going in with an ADR director. And the thing that I always love the most is hearing what actors are really bad at it and what actors are really good. Like, that's the thing you always talk about that inevitably. The director will be like, you know who's really great at ADR? Steven Seagal. And you'd be like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You know who's really bad at it? Susan Sarandon. She was in here. She couldn't, you know, it's like you're always getting that. Like, who's really good? Who's really bad?
You know, my favorite thing when touring, when I was in bands and stuff, was hearing like the sound guy tell stories about the other bands. And it'd be like, you know who did the most drugs? I remember this story specifically. He's like, you know who did the most drugs on tour? And I think it was like the Shins or somebody that you wouldn't expect. He's like, yeah, they did them. They were like demanding cocaine when they showed up.
Wow.
Damn.
You guys got to have me back specifically for any of the musical episodes where the band's practicing and playing music. Those are my favorite. I love it.
I take that very seriously.
Yeah, me too. I'm like watching everybody do everything. I'm like, is that real? Is that, you know?
Yeah.
Duly noted. Yeah, but they, to mute the cymbals, they would glue like two or three of them together. So there were two crashes. There were four hi-hats. I would still make too much noise. They were not happy with it. They took my sticks away every time between takes. Okay, it is a new day, and Sean is at his locker, and Jimmy passes by and cracks another joke yet again. But Sean is even less in the mood for it this time. And the two get into a shoving match. where Aubrey cannot stop laughing during
that thing. It's true. He's corpsing the entire time.
Yeah. He's like Jimmy Fallon in anything.
Just going to the bathroom.
Yeah. So they shove each other back and forth into the lockers. Danny's serious. Aubrey obviously thinks it's a little bit of a joke, but after Armstrong breaks it up, Sean challenges Jimmy to a duel or a fight after school.
I'll see you after school. Like the classic fight challenge. Mm-hmm, threats.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are we finally going to get answers to why this beef is happening? Oh my God, maybe. Nope.
No. No. We are in Quan's class. Sort of. Quan is in the foreground. Spinner is doing his own personal beep test and running back and forth through the open door. And why is he doing this? Well, it plays into his plan to heat up and simulate a fever, and then walks right into Miss Quan and pulls the sick card.
This part genuinely made me laugh. Just him running back and forth was so funny.
And the random girl there just like,
yeah. She did a really good job.
Yep.
I just don't understand. Why does he lick the cup? And then like, does he think he's going to get sick?
He thinks he's going to get sick within the next hour. Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be, the next day, but regardless, he's not going to just miss the test entirely. He's going to have to make it up. He's still going to have to.
He doesn't think far ahead.
And it's not like, oh, if only I had like 3 or 4 more days to study, I could get this done. He just thinks he'll be sick and they forget about the test. Stupid spinner. Okay.
Hey, don't talk about yourself that way.
Sorry. So Quan feels his forehead. Gavin, you're burning up. Go to the nurse. Success. Meanwhile, news is spreading around the school about the fight between Jimmy and Sean to a mixed bag of reviews. Some are gung-ho, and some really do not want this to happen. Okay. Sean, now really in a mood, enters Simpson's class a little bit late. He's already taking attendance. And when Simpson coldly says, "Sean, you're late," Sean responds with a snide remark, which buys him a lunchtime detention. Can his day get any worse?
I like how he's completely given up at this point. Like you know this feeling where you're just so defeated and you know you're going to fail and you're just like, screw it. And you're just rude to everybody. You just don't care. Like this mood, I feel it.
Mm-hmm. We are... This scene, I really, really enjoyed this scene, actually.
Yeah, this is a good scene. It doesn't feel like Degrassi, also, gotta say.
Spinner in with the nurse?
Yeah.
This is sexual harassment. It's weird.
Totally.
It's creepy.
Totally.
You could never do this with a student. This is so gross.
No. And I think the whole thing was he wasn't actually going to
still, just the joke, the implying it is really gross with a child.
It's true.
I get it. They're a nurse.
And also, it seems like he's really prepared to, he wouldn't actually do it, but why does he have the anal thermometer there?
I don't even think
why does he have it at all?
It's just like what is that anyway?
Like
it's like one of Wolverine's claws. It's just, why does he have that there?
This is my favorite scene of the episode. I agree. It's very weird and creepy. It doesn't belong in this. This is a scene from like a Hollywood comedy or something, straight comedy.
To backtrack, Spinner is now with the nurse, the nurse is not buying whatever Spinner is selling. He even goes as far to say that, you're a little bit warm, your body temperature is normal, but you feel a little bit warm. That could have happened just from running around. Spinner doubles down and tries to blame the faulty electronic thermometer, to which the nurse responds with, there's another way. We have another option here. And comes back with a nicely lubed rectal thermometer, folks.
Yeah. We don't know what that is, but it's,
And suddenly Spinner is feeling a lot better. And he runs right out the door. And the nurse cackles, as he should. It was nice. I liked it.
Do we get to see this nurse very often in the show? Or does he come back?
Well, I see him all the time now.
I've never seen this nurse ever.
Yeah, I think there's like a fan fiction side story for him. There's got to be.
Yeah.
It's like a horror version of Degrassi.
Just house calls, though?
Yeah. Scarier than any of the
That's
Halloween
right. It's
stuff.
It's him and Oscar. It's a buddy comedy with him and Oscar.
But he has a lot more in the way of equipment, like the guy from Seven with the, he made me fuck her. He made me fuck her.
Jesus. Not content.
Spinner now returns to Quan's class and is resigned to taking the test. But before he sits down, he has a nice moment with Quan, which, for all intents and purposes, might be the first positive exchange that they've ever had. She tells him that she kind of sees through his shtick with what he was trying to do, and then asks him about what's really going on. And Spinner confesses that he just tests freak him out, and he's nervous about this. She gives him a pep talk that gets him to, feel a little bit better. He sits down and takes that test. So it was nice, especially because Spinner was kind of the reason that she had to take a leave of absence. It was nice that, shortly after her return, they actually, seemed to turn a corner in their relationship.
Uh-huh.
And on, near the end of the school year as well. It's nice. It's fitting. It's storybook.
Fitting.
Anyway, the test starts. Now, back in Simpson's class, everyone goes to lunch, but Sean has to stay back. And Sean now gets a similar moment where Simpson tries to get Sean to open up about what's going on. But much like what he was saying with Emma, he's a failure. He's everything he tries, he fails. And Simpson, his advice was more tough lovey. What was it?
It's something along the lines of, well, if that's what you think, then,
then that's what it is. Yeah. Something it like is that. That. If that's what you think, then that's what you'll be. Yeah.
We are what we think. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually really liked that line. It wasn't a nice sappy thing.
It wasn't sugarcoated.
No. Yeah, because I don't think Sean would respond really well to anything like what Quan said to Spinner. Like, he needs tough love.
Totally.
Tough love for a tough boy. Very nice. Okay.
It's all that denim.
We're back at Quan's, where Spinner has passed the test, or at least he thinks so. He's happy that he wrote the test, and he's feeling pretty good about it. And he gets a nice attaboy from Quan, and then quickly gets, scooped up in a fast walking procession with Jimmy and Ashley as they're walking to meet Sean. This is also the first time that Spinner even hears about this fight somehow. And it seems like Spinner was about to say, "No, dude, you can't back out of a fight." Did that?
It felt like that.
That. Ashley's like, "You're not doing it." And Spinner's like, "Dude, you can't. Once you're challenged, you have to do it. It's your honor." Now, Jimmy, when he does talk to Sean, does try to calm things down. "Let's not do this." But Sean is on a rampage, and he has some choice words for Jimmy, which fires him right back up, and the fight is still on. It is even more on than it was before.
Yeah, his comeback about the basketball game was actually pretty good, and it was well-deserved.
Oh, yeah. The one about
why he got kicked off the game.
Yeah.
Because I forgot about that. Yeah, and I was these guys should be fighting.
Yeah.
We were just talking earlier in this episode about what was their beef. That's got to be where their beef started, right?
No.
It started the first day of school.
But it was before that. Okay.
Sean's first day.
Well, it didn't help.
Inexplicably, they were rivals.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy was picking on Sean for being held back a year. That's what it was. And maybe they were like kind of, friends of friends the year before, or maybe they were closer friends. I don't know. Even friends of yours in high school could get under your skin. They could just push the right buttons, right? And yeah. Sean doesn't seem like he's too centered to be able to deflect insults. He takes everything. You know, when you're really down on yourself, you take everything very personally, yeah. Right?
True. Yeah. Why does Emma wait to say something to not stop Sean before he heads off? Because she's there in the hallway and they're about to go outside and she just looks at him and she wants to say, don't do this, but then she doesn't say anything until after.
I don't know if she's seen this side of Sean before.
She's scared.
He's a different version of himself right now. Yeah. Right?
She's respecting the boundary until she doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're in the alley. It's fight night.
Yeah, we're going to watch Drake beat up a young actor.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drake is the one that takes the brunt of this.
He certainly does.
He gets socked.
Yep. It looked like he was holding Sean back for a while. He was kind of headlocking him, but then Sean started throwing the punches and clocked Jimmy a couple times. And then Emma was trying to break up the fight verbally from the sidelines, but when she finally decided to run in and put her hands on Sean, in the heat of the moment, he turned around, he shoved her really hard, she falls to the ground. And when he realized what he did, he tried to apologize, but the damage was done.
I like how the fight was shot. It was pretty cool. There was like that high angle looking down of the whole group. And I thought, oh, it was like pretty neat. It was very it was cool. Like handheld and visceral and right up in their faces. Because Jay fought a lot on the show. So I'm in moments like this, I'm always acutely aware of like, what's the choreography? Like what kind of padding were they wearing? When Emma hits that embankment, you know, it's covered Armadillo. In leaves. But I'm like, there's a pad under there for sure. Like, I know how our fight choreographer and stunt choreographer would have figured all that stuff out. So it's kind of fun to
watch. Looked like she landed on a mattress.
Yeah, she lands on it. Yeah. Yeah, it was a mattress. It was bouncy.
I'm going to ask Miriam what she landed on in that scene.
Yeah.
Babies.
nails. A bed of nails.
Dolphins.
Baby dolphins.
the dolphin.
Already tenderized. Okay. It's a new day. Again, there are many days in this episode. Jimmy is telling the whole gang about how embarrassed Sean should be for backing out of the fight and pushing Emma to the ground. I feel like there's another punch coming to him at some point.
For sure.
Yeah.
Not like us.
Sorry, I had to. And then quickly we're with a jubilant spinner who is feeling like he could conquer the world now because he wrote a test and performed decently on it, when suddenly he starts to reap what he sowed.
Yes. This is and the greatest backfire in spinner history so far.
More than the earwigs?
I like it. I like it more than the earwigs.
Okay. Well, yeah. Fair enough.
Because he really did himself so dirty, just not knowing, understanding the mechanics of getting sick.
Yeah, the incubation period.
Yeah.
But yes, he is getting sick, possibly with the flu.
He can't go see the Jays. He's got those Jay tickets. Who's going to...
I like how he sneezes. He sneezes once, and Terry's like, yep, that's exactly how my flu started.
And here's the thing about that. I've never had a flu or a cold that started with a cute little sneeze. It's always like, oh, my throat hurts. Oh, I don't feel so good. Yeah. It's just a little... this is how it is with all TV shows, though. It's always a sneeze for some reason. Yeah.
Just like lung cancer is always a hacking cough.
Yeah.
Every time. And throwing up, if you're a woman, is always pregnancy.
Them's the rules.
We have reached the final scene. Sean gets the biggest surprise from Simpson, hearing that he has passed the test. In fact, he did very well on the test. He didn't finish it, but he aced the part that he did take. Simpson tells him, keep your head up. You're better at this than you think. Emma crosses with Manny, and Sean now follows and tries to apologize to her. Emma reluctantly turns around. Manny beats it really quickly.
That little fake out, that spin that Manny does at the end there is so funny.
Yeah.
Nice touch. Actually, I took note of that. That was actually really good. Yeah, she did a good job there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sean speaks his piece, and Emma just kind of, you could see there's just the deadness in the eyes. Whatever he says, it's a little bit too late. So he realizes that, you know, he passed the test, but he has lost the girl.
Oof.
And we freeze.
Break up.
Passed one test, failed the other.
That's right. I like at the end there that it's a nice little misdirect. You think that Mr. Simpson's going to confront Spinner on the fight, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to be in trouble.
Somebody, a teacher, had to have heard about this. Come on.
It was off school property, as Sean said, right?
And where do we shoot? I'm just going to give it away. Where do we shoot? Every off school property, like back alleyway, sort of clandestine secret meeting, meetup, fight scene, bad stuff happening thing in the alleyway right behind the dock. We only had one alleyway, folks.
Yeah.
The that was alleyway.
That one alleyway, that's where Emma comes and confronts Jay about her gonorrhea. That's where you and I, Shane, we fight in there in that alleyway. I think there's a dumpster involved.
That's where Spinner fought Johnny.
That's right. I think that's where some teasing of Rick happens too.
That's where Marco came out to Spinner.
This is a dangerous freaking alleyway.
I know.
They need to put security out there.
Yeah. They're just letting kids do everything back there.
Everything bad happens there.
Everyone knows you stay away. You just stay away. It's
dot. Behind the dot. It's dangerous.
It's not police patrolled, you know? No. It's just a dead zone.
It's lawless.
Yeah, it's lawless.
Just a little trivia there.
So that was a fun episode. Sean, got to get that anger in check, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't be pushing your girlfriend to the ground on a pile of babies.
Baby dolphins, which I Googled. They're very cute. Super cute.
How quickly do they dry out, though, when they're in a heap under leaves?
Dry baby dolphins.
There could be kids listening to this. You want them to have nightmares?
I mean, if they're watching Degrassi, they definitely are having nightmares.
That is a good point. It's the most cursed school in the world.
You want to mess with me? What did you think of this episode, Andy?
It is one of my favorite episodes from this season. I liked the action. I liked seeing the fight. I actually hate Sean's character. I don't know why. I just hate it. And I enjoy hating him. is what it is.
What is it that you hate about him?
It's the tortured, lonely guy thing. Like, oh, okay, all right. Like, he's read too much Wolverine type thing. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Which was the James Dean of our era.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a real sort of outsider, hunky James sure, Dean kind Mike. Of thing going on. Misunderstood, rebel without a cause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy it because I enjoy hate watching him. Yeah.
Great. I'm hate watching Liberty now.
Mm-hmm. Another.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Is Paige still dating Spinner throughout this season?
We have no idea.
It's weird. The dynamic is so weird. They don't act like it at all.
And no.
She acts like his mom. Most of she acts like an adult. It's weird. She's an adult.
And they don't kiss, but like, I mean, Jimmy and Ashley have had a very weird...
That's weird too, yeah.
All of their romances seem very, very forced. Mm-hmm. Very forced. Like cousins kissing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Spinner and Paige haven't even hugged. I don't think they've held hands.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
I actually feel like he's closer to Terry at this point.
Yeah, yeah. That scene where he like gets down close with her at her desk, I was like, yeah. This would make me mad if I were Paige. What's going on here?
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I guess she doesn't care enough about the spin doctor right now to get jealous yet.
No.
Maybe she wants him to go.
Yeah, it was a good episode. It was a pretty low stakes for as far as Degrassi episodes go. Mm-hmm. But I liked it. It was fun. It was very revealing of a lot of character. So that's what I liked about it.
Yeah. That's two episodes in a row, I think, that were pretty low stakes. Like the cabaret one wasn't.
That's true. That's true.
No. And were they running out of ideas? I hope not, because there are many more seasons to go.
We left cabaret where we were kind of like not really buying Ashley's being okay with Terry and Paige at this point.
Yeah, cabaret, I would say, was my least favorite episode of season one.
I thought this episode... that for sure Ashley was going to go carry and burn the school down with Paige and Terry inside of it for what she did ripping off her song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, well, I don't know. Well, that was fun. We, of course, as you all know, we've got, we like to take questions from all of y'all. We've got some Discord questions. And if you guys want to join our Discord, it's really fun, I promise. That's DGrads Alumni on Discord. And if you want to email us questions, you can always do so at dgradspodcast@gmail.com. This one is from Jakira, and they say, "Hey guys, long time fan. I grew up watching Degrassi when I was a kid into my teen years, and I have a semi-annual series rewatch. That's a lot. My partner never watched Degrassi, and so we're currently doing a rewatch of the series along with your podcast. I do have one note and point of feedback, and I'm bringing this up, by the way, because it's three of us dudes in this episode.
We need a female touch.
Yeah, for the podcast. Okay, so I think it would be great. It'd be greatly beneficial to the podcast if you had a female perspective to address some of the issues you can't speak on or relate to, or give a different read to a scene that you may have interpreted it as, whether that's a former cast member, someone from the production aspect of the show, or a writer, one of your significant others. Interesting idea. A friend, etc. Enjoying the podcast so far. Looking forward to the next 10 years with you guys in this podcast. It's going to be 10 years. But I think that's a really thoughtful and totally reasonable point. We can get bro-y. We can be dude-esque.
For the next few episodes, I will be coming on here as Shayna.
Jesus. I agree. Listen, I just wanted to say, and I just wanted to bring it up to address it. I fully agree with you. We're going to do our best to have more, female guests on and get that perspective. Cause yeah, sometimes Shane and I, between us, I mean, you know, we've got a few brain cells, but we don't have that experience. And I respect that. And I would love to hear more of that. So yeah, we are going to try to find more female guests. Just wanted to let you know.
Our next guest that we have lined up is a female, and we have another one locked in as well.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. Ari on Discord, Ari says, "What do you think?" These are not easy questions today, folks. We're getting to the hard stuff.
Let's talk religion.
Yeah, let's get religion, politics. Well, the question is, what do you think about American episodes being censored? compared to the Canadian versions. Not only were American audiences denied access to the A-plot of Accidents Will Happen for several years, but multiple episodes were edited or filtered for U.S. viewers. For example, Hazel's Muslim story was significantly cut, removing the line referencing terrorist Sheikh. When the episode originally aired in the States, Marco's first storyline about his sexuality omitted the line about hating, the F word, and Manny first appearance wearing a thong was shortened by several frames in the American broadcast. These differences can be verified by comparing the American DVDs and iTunes versions of the show with the original Canadian broadcasts.
So
thanks for sleuthing.
I can give some perspective on that. What year was this for season one?
2001, 2002.
So that's obvious why we weren't getting into anything involving race.
Yeah.
Racial tensions were insane in America around that time because of 9/11. And on top of that, we censor the weirdest stuff in America. The FCC is a nightmare. There's no explanation for a lot of the stuff that they censor. I mean, they're everybody's in their pockets, you know what I mean? So it's run like a crime organization over here. So there's no explanation as to why a lot of stuff gets cut, but that's definitely why anything involving race got cut. I can't really explain why anything else did, but I miss out on all that because I didn't watch it back then. I watched it more recently streaming, and everything's on streaming.
No, that's a good perspective. That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't really have much to add about it. Every country has its own things, right? And what one country will let you get away with that another country won't can just make you laugh. Like, I think the UK is totally fine with nudity. But when it comes, no nudity, but all the swearing.
I'm always amazed when I'm watching like network TV shows and they're just letting everything fly. And I'm like, we can't even say that. Some of that stuff we can't even say on HBO.
Zero nudity. None. So,
yeah. Well, I just think it has to do with cultural values, right? Differences in cultural values, norms, and mores. And it's just the interesting thing about this comment that I really like is, you know, the episodes that were just taken out of circulation versus the episode that was just shortened by a few frames, which was the thong episode. And I think we can all gather what shot that was from behind Manny as she's walking down the hallway. I got one more question for y'all from Discord. This one is from Mumbles. Hi, Mumbles. As a viewer, I learned a lot about myself from Degrassi. As two people who lived in the Degrassi world for years, what did you learn about yourself from the roles as Spinner and Jay? Is there any part of Spinner or Jay that you feel is still a part of who you are today?
I found Spinner to be like my avatar out there in the world, doing all the stupid things so that Shane didn't have to. But Spinner was a fighter. I am not. Spinner was always, you know, whatever the first idea was that came to mind, he would act on it without thinking anything through. I'm the one that overthinks and then just doesn't take action because I've been thinking about it for too long. But I think the main thing was I got to escape the safe playing Shane and embody the skin of a guy that got into all sorts of trouble all the time. And that was a lot of fun for me.
Nice. Yeah, I would say something similar. I mean, Jay is not, you know, the most admirable guy, but the one thing I always admired about him was that he had this kind of bottomless well of confidence that he could draw on. And going into the role, I was never as confident as Jay. So finding that confidence in his character allowed me to kind of build it within myself. And I have carried that with me still. Sometimes I'm up against some things and I gotta, you know, scary stuff, or I gotta think fast on my feet. And I think that's a quality that Jay always had. And I always feel like, you know, he's kind of gotten me out of trouble in my own life and in certain ways. So I'm grateful to him for that. Yeah.
You know, I was watching an interview with Thomas F. Wilson, the guy that played Biff on Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, and he was talking about it was so hard to play Biff because he was always picked on. He had asthma. Like, he's the opposite of Biff. And like during practice, like during before one scene, like rehearsal rather, he had to like make fun of one of the characters, and he said it was just like super hard for him to do. Like he felt like he had to apologize basically afterwards. It was hard for him to step into. So I'm wondering, like, was my question is for you guys similar to the last question? Was it really hard for you to do certain scenes that you had to be just hateful and mean?
So in this episode, and it directly relates to it, when Sean talks backstory about the guy he beat up at Wasega Beach,
yeah,
that comes up later, and we do go to Wasega Beach in, I can't remember, season 4.
Yeah.
Jay goes with Sean, and that guy is working there, renting out surfboards at the shack. And I go up to that guy, and I make this. Fun of him yeah. for being deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives me, I cringe so hard internally every time I think about that. I have a
and now deep, you're gonna have to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, this has been a fantastic episode. I really want to implore you guys all to go listen to Let's Not Meet. That's Andy's podcast. It's phenomenal. I have been a huge fan of this podcast for years. I put it on before I go to bed. It's not a good idea, okay? I don't sleep very well. It's terrifying stuff. If you're into horror, please check it out. And also, just wanted to say, if you have a minute, if you're really enjoying this podcast, please go on to your podcast subscription platform and rate this podcast, write a review, because that really just helps the audience know that we're here, that helps the algorithm see that we're here and get the podcast out there. Andy, thank you so much for joining us today, man.
Hell yeah. Had a great time. Always do.
It was great having you back, man. And don't forget, if you haven't yet, subscribe to our Patreon over there. You have access to early releases of the podcast in commercial-free audio and video format. And Mike and I also respond to all comments and questions in a bi-weekly video. Thank you all for tuning in, for coming along for this ride with us. We are almost done season 1.
Holy smokes.
That seemed to really fly by. And once again, Andy, you were there from the beginning. So it was a pleasure to have you back.
It won't be the last.
And see what we've become. You've been listening to the D-Grads podcast with Shane Kippel, Michael Obell, featuring Andy Tate. And we will talk to you next week.
See ya.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.